Off the Ball. GAA.
Hurling traditions, obviously, will maybe smile at that. Kilkenny beat Kildare, but this is a different Kildare. This is a Kildare built on real confidence, real hurling, real belief.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
All right, you're very welcome along this week's episode of Inside the Odds, our Premier League show on Off the Ball in association with NoviBet. We have a full house for you. David, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, good.
Enda, how are you?
Good.
Michael, how are you?
I'm all right.
Good week, wasn't it?
Still on a bit of a buzz, yeah.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Week of Jubilee now instead of a day of Jubilee, yeah.
Stay away from the whole Jubilee thing and just like...
Very royalist.
What?
A little bit.
Well, the Royal Club, aren't they?
Are they, yeah?
Sorry, the word Jubilee isn't associated entirely with royalty.
It has connotations.
You can be happy and have a day of Jubilee, sure.
Jubilant.
Yes.
Yeah. I think Jubilee has been propositioned, requisitioned, hijacked, extraordinary rendered. It only means... Anyway, Michael, how are you? We've got a week for Unai Emery and his team. Wow.
Don't know what I'm allowed to say or not say now. Come on, Ireland.
Yeah.
It was a bloody great week, Ger. Did you enjoy it? We haven't actually even really talked because you were off for a couple of days.
Yeah. Well, I was at the podcast show in London and ended up watching it in a pub in Islington, which was obviously... In Fuego, the whole area is in Fuego because just as we arrived in, the Arsenal players, I was arriving in London at around the same time as the Arsenal players were outside the Emirates getting their photographs taken and hanging out with the fans. So the whole place was just mad. It was like, I didn't go to the ground, but that was apparently where everybody was. And first 10 minutes, they absolutely battered the hell out of them. And like, if they just score now, it's going to be 5-0.
Yeah.
But if they don't, oof.
Then they didn't.
Yeah, and then there was like chances down the other end. Oh, that's not good.
Turned out Emi Martinez had a broken finger that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
So his routine save that he made in the first half suddenly seemed a bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Emi Martinez broke his finger in the... They score a scratchy goal. It's 1-0 to them at halftime. You're like, oh God. But no, thanks be to Jesus. Yeah. And
No, that was actually Austin McPhee.
Yeah. And like... I'm delighted for Tielemans because he's so good. I would love to have seen McGinn and Watkins score, but like...
Look, everybody enjoyed it.
It was three of the best goals you're likely to see in a European final.
I do think the third one is a bit underrated. Like, Buendia did amazingly and the build-up was really nice as well. Rodgers got into a good position. It's a great goal.
Great striker's goal.
Yeah,
It's exactly what... Jarrett's theory about Morgan Rodgers.
He's gonna end up being one of the best strikers in the world.
Do you think?
I actually do. He's like... Well, he is slowly migrating to the centre.
Yeah, he is most effective... Where he gets into that sort of left side of the box.
He's a brilliant number 8. He's a brilliant number 10 if he wasn't actually, like, if the 10 wasn't exclusively the orchestrator of things. And he's a brilliant finisher.
He's not a brilliant number 11, though. Like, playing him straight off the left, it doesn't really sit him, I think.
They play a box midfield where he's kind of one of those two, I don't know, they're not actually 10s because they don't have the same responsibility, but... like he could become a Harry Kane figure where you can drop deep and play him through the centre and he can play wherever he wants.
Yeah, whatever he ends up doing, he has to pick up the ball deep and run because I don't know if I've ever seen a player who, when he's on it, is able to glide past players through the middle as much. You would see it in a winger a lot, but like it's just without really doing anything, he just seems to kind of glide over lads. But he was good. But the big thing is actually just like having a manager. Like, is the real, like, Villa have been faltering. We're all watching it going, like, their performance against Spurs was pathetic. Grand, okay, they've decided they have enough games to get top four regardless. They go and do the job against Forest, best performance of the season. You're like, okay, what a manager. But it's like, right now, let's get the job done against Burnley so they don't have to worry about it. And then they're pathetic in that game. But it's just like, full confidence that we can target the Liverpool game, the Forest second leg and the final, and that's all this team have left. But then they actually go and perform three best performances of the season in those three games and they get everything they want out of the season. Like, it's a weird thing. You guys are both fans of serial winners, although David not like
here
in, not in recent years.
Front runners.
No, I'm, this isn't a here we go.
Woe is me.
This isn't a criticism. What I'm saying is you all your life are kind of expecting
We don't know what to do with this.
You're expecting them to fall short, or you're expecting them, even if they win, that it'll be because of like circumstances. It's not because, hold on, our manager has a tactical game plan that is going to destroy anybody in their path and knows how to get the best out of players in the exact moment. That's why we don't know what to do with this. That's why when Spurs fans say it's better to hang on the last minute to have the moment, you know, when Casemiro doesn't score and then they get the full-time whistle and they're like, that's much better than knowing for a half an hour you're going to win. It's like, not if you're Villa, because we never win anything. We needed that half an hour. Yeah. The come-down time.
Yeah. Bask in the glory.
Like, 100%. What was it,
30 years ago since the last one trophy.
That was the Coca-Cola Cup.
Yeah.
Which was great because we beat Man United, obviously. But
Leeds in 96 and United in 94. Yeah.
At the same time, it was the Coca-Cola Cup. Like the League Cup is grand. This is actually
a proper European trophy.
Yeah, because obviously Freiburg aren't exactly a storied household name, but the two legs against Forest were tense and terrible, and then the best performance that they've had since they beat City 18 months ago. Yeah, it was brilliant.
And you've got a Super Cup final to look forward to.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Where's that?
Salzburg.
Salzburg, yeah.
For fuck's sake. Could it not be somewhere? What?
Against Arsenal.
No.
PSG.
Yeah. You want PSG, Salzburg. Don't you? Salzburg.
Well, PSG.
Could it not be Monaco, no? Or like...
Salzburg. Have you been to Salzburg?
No, it's just that Austria, very expensive.
Trust me, Switzerland, very expensive. You don't want to go to Salzburg.
Have you been?
I don't know if anyone does.
It's one of the... Do you know what? Frankfurt is worse, but Salzburg is. If you've ever been to Frankfurt, that's the vibe you're getting. It's industrial and not very nice. Right. For a country that is beautiful.
Well, we probably have other European days next year as well, though.
This is true, but it's just a early season trophy.
I'm already thinking last thing they need is another game next season.
Yeah.
Enough on Villa. We've had our moment in the sun.
Well, they'll play Manchester City in Pep's last game, so it's been an interesting 24 hours. Man United upstaging Thomas Tuchel's press conference by announcing formally that Michael Carrick was going to be, and then City trumping that and going, well, screw you, our lad's leaving and he's the greatest of all time.
Liverpool are about to announce Jurgen Klopp now in a few minutes.
The fixtures this week, all 4 o'clock on Sunday: Brighton versus Manchester United, Burnley versus Wolves, Palace versus Arsenal, Fulham versus Newcastle, Liverpool versus Brentford, Manchester City versus Aston Villa, Forest versus Bournemouth, Sunderland versus Chelsea, West Ham versus Leeds, and Spurs versus Everton. I think our bet of the week is going to be on Spurs versus Everton.
Yeah. Do you want to do the line?
We've gone for Spurs versus Everton as our game of the week, which normally means that it's the game that NoviBet will offer up to a €10 free bet if your bet builder loses on the biggest game of the week, of the weekend, every weekend. This week, NoviBet have made all 10 fixtures the game of the week. So, €10 free bet if your bet builder loses
on any of the games
in the Premier League. Spurs versus Everton is also the game for our bet builder of the week. No winner since week two, despite some close calls this week, Mick.
Yeah, last week wasn't a close call, though. It was my worst one yet, the FA Cup final. So we had close calls. So if this is not close or doesn't win, I think we're going to go back to, we're going to nominate one of the other lads to start doing this. But anyway, this week, Spurs Everton, right? 10-1 shot here.
Stick it back up for this.
But I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. I've gone for the match to be a draw, which would be enough for Spurs, but I don't think they're going to do it easy because they, are Spurs and they're at home where they don't like to play. Both teams to score.
Yeah.
And tense, hard affair, even though Cristiano Ronaldo is going to be in Argentina watching a different team and won't be playing, obviously, because he wouldn't be playing anyway. I still think a lot of cards in this game. I think Spurs, Tetchy, over 4.5. That's a 10-1 shot. 1-1 or 2-2 draw. Spurs just about get over the line. I think West Ham might win.
Here's hoping.
And just make it a bit of fun. Yeah. But I can't see... I feel like Everton are usually the team on the other side of this one. And always just about doing enough. And I think they might just do enough to keep Spurs in the league as well.
Never rely on Everton to do anything for you. That's one of the things you learn watching the Premier League over the last 20 years, is that anytime you want Everton to do anything for you in any shape, any way, shape or form, they never do it. Mm. And exactly when
that
you don't...
True. You think it's a tough fixture.
Exactly when you don't want them to do anything, they go and win 4-0. So unfortunately, I'm a bit of a pessimist going into the weekend. I don't think Everton are going to do anything in this game. I think it's going to be one of those where Spurs blow them away.
I don't particularly like the West Ham hierarchy and all the stuff that they've done and all that kind of stuff, but it's a much better story if Spurs go down.
Yeah, much just for better. Football in general, it's amazing. Like it is genuine for all of the arguments as to whether Spurs should be Big Six and blah blah blah. They always have been one of the big clubs in England, and they've never been relegated from the Premier League. And if they are hanging on as the sixth of six, so be it. But at the same time, it's a massive club to go and get relegated. Mm. Plus, it's the club that all the English journalists support, so they'll be upset.
Like I don't know. Like Everton, like further to your point, then they beat Chelsea 3-0 on the 21st of March and they haven't won a Premier League game since.
And around then, if they kept that form up, they would actually have been on the coattails replacing the Champions League.
Yeah.
Because they weren't that far away from Liverpool, and still there's a possibility for Villa finishing fifth and an extra Champions League place being manufactured. I don't know.
This is about Tottenham, right? So, grand, I understand that Everton will put out some kind of performance and they will play the game that's in front of them. If Spurs come out 100 miles an hour, score early, Everton will wilt. Of course they will. Yeah. But I just wonder if, like, Spurs are going to be so tense. They were, like, they could have got something out of the game on Tuesday night and wrapped it up. This is a Chelsea team in the worst form of all time.
Yeah.
And they didn't get the job done. They woke up very late. I think if he has any minutes in his eyes, even if he only has 45 minutes, I think they should start Madison this weekend. Because they're a different team when he's playing. Even if you have to take him off at halftime, hopefully you're 2-0 up against an Everton team that couldn't be bothered being there. But their home performance, how nervous the fans are going to be, I think Everton will just play the game that's in front of them. If that ends up being a kind of a Spurs, you know, capitulating or you know, their self-doubt absolutely paralysing them, then I think Everton will just be there to pick up the pieces, I suppose. It's not really about them. You know, this could be anyone.
Spurs have only won 2 home games this season.
Yeah. They're awful there.
They've lost 10 games
at
home.
One is the first game of the season as well.
That's an outrageous stat. Yeah. And you do look at that. And also, Everton, I'm not sure if it correlated throughout the season, but at the start of the season, Everton's form away from home was way better than it was at home. But with the Spurs fans, if they're nervous and they're not doing what they need to do, and that home form is starting to look like it's going to continue, then there could be a mass exodus very early, or mass boos, or mass protests, and that doesn't help when you're trying to survive in the Premier League.
I think
there'd be an exodus. I'd say there'd be too much fear there, aren't there?
I think they'll row in behind them for this, like, and they'll stick with them until the very end.
Yeah.
They'll try.
The first 10 minutes, first 10, 20 minutes of both games, the West Ham Leeds game and the Spurs Everton game is probably it will tell a lot what will happen on Sunday, because, like, if West Ham score early and it's still nil all at Spurs and Everton, then surely the toxicity of that Tottenham Hotspur Stadium all season just only increases. West Ham have a shot to nothing, I think. West Ham can just go for it.
Yeah.
Sometimes playing for the draw is like...
much harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right on that. The thing I think works against West Ham is two things. One is they're also toxic enough, bad home crowd, bad home stadium.
Yeah.
Spurs is a good home stadium, but, you know, like, they're not doing well there, but West Ham's hard to get that going in that clip. Mm. And then you have the fact that Leeds just won't die this year. Like, Leeds have been safe for 3-4 weeks now.
Yeah.
And, like, Brighton were on mad winning run, win genuine chance in the Champions League if they won both of those games. Mm. And, you know, beaten by them. I don't know why Leeds won't go on the beach, I suppose. They've got, like, 47 points or something now, like, you know. Yeah. So, I don't know. I suppose there's a element from Farke. Leeds owners clearly want to sack him and kind of can't. So maybe he wants to get like 50 points and guarantee it or whatever. But I just wouldn't trust Leeds to not be better than Everton will be.
Yeah.
Over the in those two games. Like.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you were predicting a draw?
Calvert-Lewin didn't get in the England squad either, so.
Who's staying? Who's going up? Who's going down?
I actually genuinely think Spurs might go down.
Yeah.
based on the form. And so I think West Ham are capable of getting a win. Like I think they're capable of scraping by. Like the Arsenal game obviously would have dented their confidence a little bit, but all they need to say is, look, put in a performance like we did against Arsenal, and we're granted out adverse to that. The Newcastle performance was one of their worst of the year.
What happened there?
Like, so it's hard to tell, but I think, yeah, Spurs are just about toxic enough to throw in the towel this weekend.
Hungarian Football Extra reporting this morning that Robbie Keane is set to leave Ferencvaros. That's also the other managerial news today.
Mm. That goes alongside John's ask you. He has the Motherwell manager, he has accepted the Toulouse job.
And he was the favourite.
He was a favourite for Celtic job. So that will further add fire to the Celtic rumours for Robbie Keane.
Yeah. Do you remember actually back in the mid-2000s when Spurs and Arsenal are both going for the top four at the same time, and then Spurs had the food poisoning incident?
Well, they were poisoned.
Were they?
So the dodgy lasagna, wasn't that it? Am I mixing up a lasagna gate with something else?
Pizza.
I don't know if it was lasagna, but yeah, there was definitely a sick Spurs team on the last day of the season, probably all we'll say.
And West Ham beat, it was West Ham that beat them, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Was it?
Yeah, I think Teddy Sheringham scored for West Ham at the time.
And then celebrated wildly.
Yeah.
Like, West Ham also stayed up on the last day of the season in the year when Sheffield United sued the Premier League. Carlos Tevez, I think, scored a free kick against United, beat United, already champions on the last day of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was 1-0,
Yeah, so there's been a few of those days. Yeah, the park was slightly better.
West Ham surely should be like, this is just an opportunity for Spurs. And like, this is like, they, you know, everyone in London kind of hates Spurs. So, you know, I think you ask a lot of the London club fans, like, who's your biggest rivals? Most of them just say Spurs. So with that, maybe West Ham can kind of get up for this game and do something against Leeds. But I still think Tottenham will just have enough and get a point against against Everton.
I agree with that. If you're making predictions, I think it's like there's too much has to happen.
Yeah.
Like you have to rely on West Ham winning, which is hard enough, and then relying on Spurs actually losing the game to a Everton team that haven't won in 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, I don't think Robbie Keane's going to be the next Celtic boss.
Right.
That's what I don't think that's going to happen.
Southampton.
Everybody's
good job for Robbie.
I think the Palace job.
You think Robbie Keane's going to get the Palace job?
I think there's a reasonable chance Robbie Keane's going to get the Palace job. He was the favourite, the better of her for months.
Yeah,
big job for Robbie.
That's a big leap. That's a big leap.
He failed to win the Hungarian league title last week.
I know that was
a league that's rigged for basically Ferencváros to win it all the time.
Obviously not rigged, but in which the conditions would suggest they are the favourites every season, I think is the correct phraseology that our lawyers are insisting you're...
Yeah.
Is how you corrected yourself there.
Yeah, exactly.
Likewise with the food poisoning and being poisoned.
That's the great conspiracy theory is that... There was a change in the shifts and all that. There's a great story there.
There was definitely a long read in The Athletic with the chef.
Am I mixing this up now with the South Africans winning the World Cup in 95?
That sounds more right.
That's the other one.
We libel them all. Like, they hate us anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't libel anybody. We expressed a fair comment opinion on
it. So Spurs are staying up unless you end it. In which case you're going
down. I think Spurs are going down.
Yeah,
and Ange Postecoglou is going to go on TV and say, "I told you so."
They really don't deserve to stay up. They've been pathetic.
Yeah,
you know. So,
although I will say, like, there's always one team like West Ham. Aston Villa were this side for a while back, and Wolves have been it for a long time as well. There's always sides that you see they do really well for one and a half seasons. Sheffield United, another example, and then you just see them whittling down the table every so often, and then eventually they just go down. West Ham have been that side where they just about stay up.
Yeah.
Going down to them wouldn't be the worst shout, and we'd get a fantastic maybe 7 a.m. kickoff between West Ham and Millwall in the Championship next year. Make sure it's safe. But can you imagine a Super Sunday or a Super Saturday of Millwall West Ham rolling into Celtic Rangers on Sky Sports? That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
We haven't mentioned Pep, the other news from this morning. I mean, we've obviously known about it for a while. It's been building for months and months and months. And then, I don't know, I did hold out a little bit of hope that with the two wingers fit and playing well, that maybe we'd get to see what his football would be like next year when everybody's bedded in. That's not going to happen. Enzo Maresca is going to get that gig. Do we think this is hugely important? I mean, Maresca is like a little mini-me down to the same hoodies and clothes and shaped
looks
head.
Very like him.
Yeah.
I often confuse them, like, you know, but...
yeah.
He's also not Pep Guardiola.
You need your glasses.
He's massive, isn't it? Well,
yeah, except he has been at the club and knows everybody for years. Like, you know.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any. There's not going to be any bit where they're like, "Oh, I don't know you and I don't recognise you."
Like, I know, but you wouldn't give Brian Kidd Fergie's job. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like there's a very big difference between being the main guy and being.
There is. He has been a main guy twice elsewhere and done well. Got a team promoted as champions and then won the Club World Cup and then they fell apart as soon as he left.
Yeah.
So he's worked with giant egos. Mm. He's worked under difficult circumstances, financially issued. Maybe there's some imminent financial issue coming for them. Maybe there isn't. Who knows?
I don't know. I find this I find it uninspiring.
The other thing is that Pep has recommended him.
Yeah.
Like he's been handpicked.
What was the last guy who was appointed on the technicality of a legend who recommended you?
No, yeah. But he has been part of the club, right? Like,
A while ago. Seems to go
Mikel
well.
Arteta is probably who they should have went for.
Well, sorry, Arteta was... Pep was asked who's the best manager and he went Arteta. Second best is Maresca.
Hmm.
It's massive. Like, it is... We're in a weird situation as well because you're going into next season with... Who knows what Liverpool will do, but Manchester United have a new full-time manager. Manchester City have a new manager. Chelsea have a new manager. Like, if you even look wider, Real Madrid are going to have a new manager. Is Luis Enrique going to stay at PSG?
Mm.
You know, there is a kind of a... There's a mad flux of kind of new eras starting at the same time.
Palace, Fulham will have new managers.
Bournemouth
will have a new manager, Marco Rosa. Yeah. I don't know, I think... If it wasn't Maresca, like, who else would it be for Man City? Like,
Luis Enrique?
Ange Postecoglou. He was part of the City group.
Yeah.
It's not like that's, just, but, the, but, that's the trajectory he was
but
on.
But on the Enrique point, it's like it sounds fanciful and mad, but like Man City put themselves in that bracket. They think of themselves. They got Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like the last time they appointed a manager, they went out and got... the biggest manager in the world.
Yeah.
So why are they not trying to do that again?
Well,
that's just a question I would ask, you know?
I guess because what they've done in the meantime, so to get him, they put the whole apparatus and architecture that he had in advance. And maybe if they've, what the whole point of developing that incredible academy was to make themselves sustainable. So their net spend is always less than everybody else, even though they are still spending $250 million in every transfer window, kind of almost... unremarked upon when they do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we signed 7 players this transfer window and they were a minimum of 40 million each.
Yeah. I think that can be used as well as a compliment to Arsenal this season where when they were both in the heat of the title race, City and Arsenal, City went out and signed literally the two best players outside, let's say, the top four clubs in Gay and Semenyo, and Arsenal still went on and won the league.
Mm.
And still,
and both of them did well. That's the other thing. It's
both
like,
of
it's
them
not, yeah.
Game-changing signings pretty much without winning the league title. Like,
yeah, Vincent Kompany is another name that could take over the Man City job, you'd say.
Yeah.
On the transfer point, I think it's not so much unremarked on when they do it in the summer transfer window and they're just bringing in players. It's completely unremarked on when they buy players to replace injured players.
Mm.
That's what City have done over the last number of years. They've had long-term injuries and they've just gone out and bought a superstar to replace that guy. And then suddenly that guy's back from injury and they've got unbelievable depth. Like,
yeah.
They get away with murder in that sense.
I think it is worth pointing out that their net spend, and I know there's other ways of looking at it. For example, what did they get Haaland for versus what they're paying him? And we shouldn't obsess about net spend. But their net spend over the last, you know, 2 decades is the highest by, you know, some margin. But over the last 4 years, it's nowhere near where Manchester United are or where Arsenal are. You know,
bigger jobs.
I think they might even be behind Spurs in that time.
They don't
not Spurs, Chelsea.
They don't need to spend that much money though.
No, like 100%.
Arsenal and United rebuilt their teams.
And that is absolutely fine. I completely agree. I just think that it is just worth noting. Mm. They're not going and spending $200 million in every transfer window. That's
on the managers. Like, we are entering a new era of like the boardroom management. Manager, the spreadsheet manager. Like, there's a significant lack of personalities in the list of managers in the Premier League next year. They're all just, yeah, he's a nice, calm figure who likes to work with the sporting director and he's big on his stats and he likes to play this formation. There's nobody like Antonio Conte in the Premier League next year who's just going to come in and throw a grenade at someone.
Yeah.
I would say Mikel Arteta is like the antithesis of that. Like, he has like obviously Andrea Berta is their sporting director, but he's like he is the main guy. He's the all seeing eye in Arsenal, whereas like United obviously have this, you know, Christopher Vivelle and Jason Wilcox and whatever else. City obviously have a similar structure there.
Emery.
Emery,
and the two of them are very similar actually as well in that like they have very, very structured football and make very few surprising grenades, as you would say. But they're also both lunatics. Like they're like they, you talk about like having some energy on the sideline. The two of them are just jumping up and down like madmen the entire time, like, which at least adds a bit of energy to the thing. But like Michael Carrick's not like that.
No.
I don't want to know who somebody's club's sporting director is.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm sick of hearing about them.
Yeah.
Like it's not about you, like
Alex Ferguson.
But like genuinely, like,
you want Alex Ferguson booking the bus travel, dude.
We have transitioned so seamlessly into this boring nonsense of who's running things in the background. Like, do you start supporting a football club because of whose sporting director it is? Like,
it's about glory.
I started supporting a football team that had like lunatic chairman, deadly dog, new manager every 2 years. You just sack him. New manager's got to save everything. Then he gets sacked. That was the day.
I want to get back to the days of football where clubs bought players a car and their mom a gaff to sign them. Yeah. That's what I want to get.
Well, they're doing
to.
That for the kids.
Yeah.
They're signing massive contracts for kids at 12, 13, 14 and giving entire families jobs to make sure that they can do it. That is all happening. I think that you want your club to be well run. I mean, I think that an NL sporting director who might say no to Unai Emery when he's signing all these shit players, you'd be like, maybe Unai. Yeah.
No,
maybe,
but do, like, do that in somebody, the background.
But even more so.
I don't mind the club being run by the. These roles exist and they have to be done well, but I'm sick of them being main characters. Like, but they're not the main characters.
It does tell the story a little bit, though. Like, Spurs have finished 17th the last two seasons, probably, if they finish 17th this year, 17th or 18th. Villa fired this guy that they hired, like, because he was crap. Johan Lang, right? He was a disaster, right? Bjorn Engels and all these players that they were spending fortunes on, right? They fired him. Spurs say, that's our guy, and have cratered. And it's like, and it's the opposite. He almost doesn't get enough coverage that the system at Spurs was so broken, they decided to get a guy on 4 years ago's potential and hope that that's a saviour. You know, and you never hear Johan Lang mentioned, like, you know, but he's one of the reasons the Spurs are in the shit they're in. Like,
there's a vacuum at Spurs as well, especially after Daniel Levy left.
Yeah.
Like, who was running the show? Vinay Venkatesham, whatever, was there. But, like, there's no direction at Spurs. They signed, like, a lot of players under like a certain age, like under 23, like Lucas Bergvall, Archie Gray, but they will obviously long term be good investments. You'd imagine they'll probably get money back and then they'll sell them on, but for the here and now,
yeah, you want those signings to be made and then you want a bunch of our lads.
Yeah,
I was making this point earlier to David off air. Villa's second oldest starting lineup in the Premier League this year, 29.9 of an average age. Like, that's exactly what Chelsea needs, some of those players in their team to help the kids come through. Because, you know, it's going to be really interesting. We haven't even talked about Xabi Alonso, what he's going to do there. He seems to be a manager.
Yeah.
He's been given the title manager as opposed to head coach. They have 5 sporting directors.
Yeah. Maybe they can play one of them up front or something.
Yeah. That's what Ange Postecoglou said about.
Classic.
It's like a little ding every time I mention Ange. But that's actually what he said about Spurs, was that, you know, he said it on the overlap that he got all these players and they're great and they're fantastic. They're going to be superstars in the future, but he didn't get anyone to supplement them coming in. And it was like, he needed to supplement. He didn't need any more of them.
Yeah.
He needed
like a calm presence beside like Christian Romero. You know, and Mickey van de Ven.
Well, he lost a Harry Kane and he received a Lucas Bergvall.
Yeah.
Or a Archie Gray. Two great players, but what have they done?
Yeah, well, eventually they'll be good players. But that's the thing as well, is like going back to Spurs going down, if they do go down, all the other Premier League clubs are going to be circling all around those players.
Yeah, they're all turn out to be great players.
Yeah, like Archie Gray, Lucas Bergvall, maybe Kulusevski gets back to fitness. Doesn't look like at the minute, but like those type of players would be.
Yeah. Madison.
Madison, even if he's a bit older, Mohamed Kudus obviously hasn't played.
Yeah. That's another thing. Like, Kudus went out for like what was like a 6-week injury that turned into the rest of the season.
Yeah.
What's going on with their medical team in general? Like, you know, it's like, I just don't believe in it being a coincidence that all their players are always injured, I just don't buy it. Like,
I mentioned that on the show on Thursday or Wednesday. I can't remember when, it might have been earlier in the week, but somebody actually sent me a link to some articles about the links between these retractable pitches and injuries, and Real Madrid are having very similar situations with knee injuries, and so are Spurs, and correlation, not causation, with the timing of the retractable pitches. But
I blame Beyonce. She's played gigs at both of those venues.
Well, it could be.
It's the
has she played at
specific
the
resonance of the music that she plays that's causing the injuries.
Has she played like in Santa Clara?
Just like the substation in Santa Clara. Yeah. I don't know about this.
Could be that. Look, it hasn't been proven, but there is, like, there are people saying it about the solid and the boots going into them and stuff like that. So it's not.
Remember, Croke Park was supposed to be the cause of all, and then it turned out it's just a weird bunch of stuff that happens.
Well, it could also be playing a million matches again.
It could be a rehab issue, it could be a preparation issue, it could be a pitch issue, whatever it is. But I wonder, are they sitting there thinking how unlucky we are with injuries, or are they doing something about it?
Yeah, look, everybody was talking about Arsenal and how it was Raya and Rice that won in the league. And I'm like, they're obviously very core key players, the two centre-backs. But the main thing that Arsenal had this year was strength and depth. When Saka's form was bad, they actually had someone to come in and play significant minutes who was a Premier League quality footballer.
World Cup quality, apparently.
When Kai Havertz was out injured, it wasn't a complete disaster. They weren't like playing Mikel Merino up front for 40 games. It was like, oh, actually, we've signed a striker. He might not be amazing, but he's good enough to score 18 league goals. Yeah. Like, it was just that they were smart, and they signed five players last year. Norgaard disappeared, but other than him, everybody had significant minutes, and the dip wasn't bad enough for there to be a precipitous fall after where there was in previous seasons. The good players, obviously, are the most important in terms of like winning the league, but they actually had proper depth.
Yeah. Definitely.
And maybe they got lucky with a lot of injuries. Maybe the next season, maybe five more players get injured, and it's like
that was a criticism of Arteta in the past, that the training was too intense and there was too many injuries. It seemed to have maybe tapered down. They got that right this season.
Yeah,
the inside the Arsenal pieces. Sorry, this
no, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
it's been. I think there was a time in the season where they lose after Bournemouth, I think.
Yeah.
And Eberechiezi, I think, says to Arteta, "Is like, maybe we just need to maybe relax a bit." And in fairness to Arteta, and it's a positive thing,
he listens
on board. He listened. He's like, right, maybe a couple of days off. And obviously Guardiola kept mentioning that this season, like, days off, Caprinha's, you know, go and enjoy yourself, kind of relax. So that's maybe what ultimately got Arsenal over the line, especially when they lost that game to Bournemouth. Obviously then they went on, they lost to City, and then they still managed to turn around and have, what, four or five wins in the last five, and five clean sheets as well.
So I was really impressed by that story when I read it about it being Eze who went to him.
Yeah.
Like a player who just signed.
Who'd been punishment.
Who'd been kind of sidelined a little bit, And I don't think he hasn't started a game since then. You know what I mean? I think he went up in Arteta's estimation after it. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, in fairness, I don't know if we've given Arteta enough, because I think we've been down him, because I'm not sure he's the most likable guy in the world, let's face it. And they did get in their own way and they did make mistakes, but actually they've done it. They could win the Champions League.
We were doubting Thomas, like, show me the wounds. They've shown us the wounds.
Yeah.
You are risen again.
Is there anything else to look forward to this weekend's games? The Spurs and West Ham games, that's it. Like,
I'm interested to see how City and Villa approach that game. Pep's last game, Villa on the complete batter. Is that a 6-0?
When they qualified for the Champions League 2 years ago after drawing the amazing 3-3 game with Liverpool, the John Duran game, they went and lost 5-0 to Palace.
Nice.
And the Palace thing
not
with
good,
Villa.
Yeah.
We still have an overcome.
5-0 to Man City.
You're not dying to see if Bruno's going to break the assist record?
Oh, sorry, that's the big one, isn't it? Yeah, if Bruno breaks the assist record against Brighton, I wonder will he have a chance to do it?
He's going to create his.
Do you reckon United will set the game up so that Bruno can get an assist?
He's going to say so.
It was like It was like he was playing his own video game.
The
weekend,
good for him.
And he had a challenge to get as many assists as possible.
Mm. Congratulations on.
Is that how we want to see football played?
Manufacturing the
individuals
situation.
Trying to get records. It's the Ronaldo-itis of modern football. That, like, I after Ronaldo, I almost take the blame away from individuals. Not Bruno's biggest fan, but I feel like every team would do this now, and I just think it's
yeah
It's not what it's about.
But then again, United aren't really playing for anything, so...
Well, the other side of it is there a world in which he's been incentivized to do that? That he's actually on a massive bonus if this happens?
If he breaks a record?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a big...
Because like the assist record, you would argue that the assist record does, over the course of the season, benefit the team, right? But if he's actually passing up easy chances himself to get to that record, you're like, well, okay. The law of unintended consequences.
Yeah, well, like the assist record is one thing. I think the more important stat is actually...
winning the game.
How many... Well, yes, of course that. But in terms of like measuring his performance across the season, like it's actually the amount of chances he has created, not the amount of chances that he's created and they, have scored. And he's miles ahead of everyone else.
Chances created.
Chances created. Yeah. And goals... and
just United are
goal
shit,
involvement. No, 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 not United. He's miles ahead of everybody else in the league.
That's what I
so
mean.
United are shit, and he's also still creating a ton of chances.
Okay, so
they've got one. They've got one playmaker as well. Like that's the, yeah. the another new truth. Is who's, that all playing, their forwards are
who was playing as speed. A deep line midfielder for half the
half
year.
Half the year, yeah. Look, it's United. Obviously, Carrick's got the job, and we'll find out what happens when he has to play twice a week and so on. But finishing comfortably third is an amazing thing for United after the way last season went.
Yeah, huge turnaround from the crisis podcast we had in here after Ruben Amorim was sacked all of a sudden.
Yeah,
you're kind of thinking. Even then, like when he was sacked, like there was obviously grounds to sack him, but like we're still like, you would leave him in charge, kind of maybe get to the end of the season, you know, get to the World Cup. Obviously, a lot of managers, as we were seeing over the next few weeks, that a lot of managers are going to be available on the market. And since then, like, yeah, going back to basics for Man United has worked out. But they have been helped by the sheer hopelessness of Liverpool. And then Aston Villa's bad run where they kind of faltered a little bit as well. So
Chelsea as well.
Yeah, Chelsea completely collapsed.
Newcastle, Spurs, non-factors this season.
Yeah, and then like Everton, Brentford and Brighton were just far enough away where they couldn't get enough of a run together to kind of push them. So
They did win loads of matches though. I know they weren't all convincing, but like they were winning most of the time, which was, that's when United used to finish third with Mourinho and Solskjaer and all this, and we would look at, you know, we'd be doing the predictions on a Friday, and it was always this like, oh, they lost last week, but you'd always go on a run where they somehow win games 2-1 4 weeks in a row and pick up 12 points. And that's why they were always at the top of the table-ish without challenging, but also without being any good, and why the managers were always under pressure. But they would find ways just by the strength of their squad and team to win these
you
games.
You spend a billion, you and get Carrick, some reasonable players.
Carrick has at least, if nothing else, gone from what Ten Hag and Amorim couldn't do and get them back to that.
Yeah.
And then the next step is, can you build on that and become a good team again? Because I don't think they're a good team yet.
No. I would really worry about next season from a United perspective, unless they make serious midfield improvements, especially.
Yeah, that's relatively straightforward. There are a load of good midfielders this season available in the summer, it looks like.
Toby Mainoo back in the England squad.
Yeah, maybe so. And I think his remarkable... The way he was left out of the team by Ruben Amorim, kind of like, does Ruben Amorim ever get a job again at the top level of football? Like, how can you leave some of that out for so long?
Apparently, he was offered the Benfica job.
Yeah.
Which, oh yeah, does Marco Silva know about that? Yeah.
Nobody before Marco Silva.
Yeah.
Like he rejected it. The reporting is that he doesn't want to go back to Portugal yet. Right. So
he still sees himself.
He also like the only people who probably like him are Sporting fans, so he can't go and be Benfica. You can't go and be a Benfica manager.
They all move around and play for each other's clubs. Like it's a bit like in Italy, though.
It's a bit odd.
Yeah. Conte is obviously available actually now this season as well. He's leaving Napoli.
Go and get him.
Yeah.
Top level
now.
Manager.
Too late now. They've just decided not to bother. Maybe he can go to Celtic.
Maybe that's it. Can you imagine Antonio Conte at Ibrox?
That would be good. Craig
Bellamy would also be fantastic.
If Scottish football's having a renaissance, bring Conte to Celtic and we're all watching SPL every week.
I'd be a huge Craig Bellamy advocate if he's going
to
be.
I like that show actually.
Conte to Celtic and Gattuso back at Ibrox.
Oh yeah.
Right, that's it, I think. Is there anything else anybody else wants to talk about?
Just on Enzo Maresca, I don't know, like will he bring Brian Barry Murphy back in? I know he's done a great job at Cardiff City and he wants to be the main man, but when you're looking at all those photos during the week of Pep Guardiola and Enzo Maresca,
he's there in the background as well.
Brian Murphy's there in the background.
Oh, I think he has to give it a go in Championship, doesn't he? Yeah. Like, I think that's
it's a great job
now. Like, it really is. They have a lot of potential as well. You make a real name for yourself there. Where's Kieran McKenna going to go?
They've been a Premier League club. He's going to stay, surely.
I thought he was gone.
No, he's...
Oh, there was definitely a, there was a thing last week, maybe it never went, where they'd basically mutually agreed. Maybe cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah.
I mean, he was obviously in the mix for the Celtic gig.
Yeah.
At 1.2, but yeah, look, there's loads of stuff happening. The managerial merry-go-round is about to kick off in full swing.
Just as well, Brentford have a chance to go to Anfield and be Liverpool and qualify for European football. Keith Andrews, unbelievable season. Obviously, it's Mo Salah's last game at Anfield.
Would you pick him if you're slot?
I would let him. I wouldn't. I would, yeah.
Just as a fit of pique. Yeah. Screw you.
Exactly.
There's the bus you threw me under.
Yeah.
I'm going to reverse it over you.
Yeah. I forget about him. Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to be the bigger man, though, no?
I don't know.
I'll see you when I win the game.
Liverpool are going to qualify, you imagine, for Champions League football either way anyway, but I don't know.
If Liverpool win, Bournemouth will qualify in sixth, we think.
No, they will. But if Villa lose.
Yeah.
But if
Villa are going to lose because they're on the piss and they're playing Man City.
They're 3 points behind Liverpool. Game. Liverpool have a better goal difference. If they swap places, because Villa have won the Europa League, sixth place qualifies for Champions League. It's a nonsensical loophole that I really actually hope doesn't come to pass, and then they close it next year. Because it doesn't make any sense. We don't need six English teams. The reason it happened last year was because of Spurs not qualifying for Europe in any other way. Surely when that doesn't happen, you just say, fine, there's five teams in the Champions League. Six is ludicrous.
Should just have a max of five anyway.
Yeah, from each country.
Oh, you think you take away league place last season?
Yeah, and also the English team's been in the Conference League is absolute.
Yeah, I think there should be no English.
That could be Chelsea again now.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
You know, like that's...
The Conference League should be built. There should be like a wage... cap or something for the Conference League.
You just
can't have these super clubs in the Conference League.
But if you're Shelburne, say, in the Conference League this year, is it not better that there's a Crystal Palace in there? So even though they might win the tournament, is the competition not better because it feels like a real European competition because you have English clubs and Spanish clubs and Italian clubs? Whereas if they didn't exist at all, this would be just like a weird, like,
Intertoto.
There was English teams of that too. But.
That's the best part about it, though. Like you could end up in Dubrovnik or anywhere.
I don't know.
Maybe why would they care? Why is TV going to get involved? Do you know what I mean? You need a big name every now and then.
They have to. You say, if you want the Champions League, you're going to have to show these games. It's in the contract. And that's what you do.
I guarantee Shells are happier that they played Palace this year than if they didn't have an English team.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's the best thing for, like, what if they actually were able to qualify for the next round over a period of time?
Yeah.
In the short term, I get it right. In the immediate, like, you sell out. I don't know if they sell out that night or not, but
I think using Shells as an example is probably not the best example. I think you need to look at a club that
could win,
let's say, for example, a Hearts going to the Conference League. That's a competition where Hearts should be looking that potentially they can win a European trophy.
But would it be a real European trophy if there's loads of countries in Europe not represented?
I'm not saying there shouldn't be an English side. I'm saying there should be like a salary cap of some sort. If that eliminates the Premier League club, that's their fault.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with like Palace, Brentford, Brighton. Like, I'm okay with those.
Chelsea is
there some kind of European coefficient? So Villa's European coefficient as an individual club has improved as a result of the last few seasons of them being in. Is there some sort of European coefficient? Like, sorry, you're just too big for
this.
You're
too high,
yeah. So it's like if Villa finished seventh next season, it's lunacy them going into the Conference League. But when they finished in Emery's first season, it was their first year in Europe in 10 years or longer.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Great. And they lost the semi-final that year. So.
Maybe we've
put the world to right here.
There you go, fixed. That's the end of that. Right, we've gone for Spurs versus Everton as our game of the week, but a reminder that Novi Bet have made all the 10 Premier League fixtures on Sunday at 4 o'clock their Premier League game of the week, which means that if your bet builder loses on the biggest game of the weekend every weekend, you get a free bet up to €10. We'll see you next week.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.